Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Verse 27. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And in verse 31, and Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Father, may your word this morning that we have heard, that we have read, may it be planted deeply in our hearts and minds this morning, Father. Help us to not forget that what we have heard, what we have read, but help us to meditate on it and obey it as we build our lives on the truth of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I need some participation from you this morning, okay? So everyone say, "What's up?" Okay, now you got to have that high-pitched thing in there, like, "What's up?" Okay, yeah, you're getting better. Hopefully by the end of it, you'll get it. Okay, so with this is how Jesus comes to, when it comes to Jesus and outreach, right? He crossed barriers. He broke rules. He even redefined rules, right? This is Jesus. And so today, we're going to use this acronym, WASA. In the name of Jesus, right? And we're going to see how Jesus does outreach, okay? And so, if we could start off in verse 27. Jesus went out. In verse 27, after this, he went out. Everyone say, went out. And saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. After this passage starts, after this. Well, what was this after? Okay, let me tell you what this was after. Jesus had just finished healing a paralytic man. Right, he was in a house, and he was doing ministry in this house, and the house was so packed that and these guys they bring their paralytic friend along, and when they get to the house, they see there's no way that they can get to Jesus, and so they think, okay, let's take him to the roof, and then they get their friend onto the roof, and they start ripping out the roof, and they lower their friend down to Jesus. These friends bring their paralytic friend to Jesus, and Jesus heals him. That is the after this. That's what happened just prior to this. And then we see Jesus here going out. And this is something that Jesus did regularly. He went out to places. He went out intentionally. In Mark 1, verse 35, it says this, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out." Everyone say, went out. To a desolate place, and there he prayed. So this is Jesus preparing himself for his day ahead. He's going out to a place. He's preparing for the preaching, for the ministry that he is going to be doing that day. And he's starting it by going out to a place to be with God. In Mark 1, verse 39, "And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." Matthew 14, 23, "After he had dismissed them, he went up." Everyone say, went up. "On a mountainside by himself to pray." And so Jesus, this is just after Jesus has fed the 5,000, right? And then he sends his disciples ahead. He sends them ahead to go across in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. And he dismisses the crowd. And then he goes up to this mountainside. After he's done this ministry, to be with God, to thank God to ask for direction for the next part. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Jesus went out intentionally. He went throughout intentionally. He went up intentionally, right? He healed people. He taught people. He also intentionally went out to pray to his Father. This is the pattern of life. This is the lifestyle in which Jesus lived, right? There was a purpose when Jesus went out. And this is best summed up in his very own words in Luke 19:10. Jesus' purpose is this: for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to search for, to find, to rescue, to save people from eternal separation from God. Jesus came to reconnect, to reestablish people back to God. Jesus went out to seek and save the lost. And so for us, what is our purpose in going out to people? What is our purpose in going out? What is your purpose in going out to people? Is it just to make friends? Maybe you just want some social buddies to do some social things together. Maybe it's just so that you feel like you belong, you're part of something. When we see ourselves as disciples of Jesus, when we walk as disciples of Jesus, then we will see Jesus' purpose as our purpose, right? We will see what Jesus did as what we got to do. We will see how Jesus lived as the way we got to live. We will see ourselves differently. We'll see ourselves differently in the sense that we're not in the circles, the different circles of friends for my own purpose, for me to feel good about myself. No, we see this as the circles of friends that I'm around is so that I can be an influencer for Jesus, right? The circle of friends that I'm hanging out with is so that I will be a representative of Jesus in that circle. The reason why you are with the people that you are with, it's because Jesus has placed you there. God has placed you specifically there to be his ambassador, to be his hands and feet, to be his kingdom perspective in that circle of friends. Who do you see? Jesus went out to seek and save the lost. All right? You want to say, what's up? Okay, the next one is S, right? S. After this, he went out and saw. Everyone say saw. Right? So this is Jesus. He saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. So Jesus saw. I want us to see this. Jesus going is connected to his seeing. Jesus is going is connected to his seeing. Right? And so our seeing should be connected to our going as well, right? If we're going to go somewhere, it's that intentionality of seeing that God is taking me this way and God's going to use me in this place. Whatever way it is, God, I'm open and I want to hear you speak to me in this moment. Jesus' going is connected to his seeing. Jesus saw a tax collector named Levi sitting in his tax booth. Who do you see? Who do you see? Do you see that woman in your workplace that turns up every day and she never has lunch? And it's like you're wondering, man, does this lady eat? Do you see her? Do you see that young person that is always by themselves? They're always isolated. There's no other kids hanging around them. Do we see them? Do we see that single mom that is struggling to make ends meet? Do we see her? Do we see that young person that is silently suffering due to bullying in their school? Do we see them? Do you see that married couple that are struggling with communication and intimacy in their own marriage? Do we see them? Do you see that young person that's trying to find their place in this world? Do we see the struggles that they're walking through? Jesus saw these people, just like he saw Levi sitting in his tax booth. And Jesus, he approaches them. He intentionally makes contact with them. Jesus saw Levi, the tax collector. But everyone else, even his own family, they did not like tax collectors. Because tax collectors, man, they were seen as these dodgy people. Because they were working for the Romans. And so everyone hated the tax collectors. Because they were their own people, and yet they were living off their own people. They were living off, you know, getting extra for themselves so that they can, you know, facilitate their own healthy lifestyle. But they were collecting for the Romans. And so on top of that, they would add their little piece of the pie so that they could live well. And so usually the tax collectors were grouped together with murderers and adulterers. Tax collectors. Jesus sees Levi as this man that is struggling to make connections, as this man that is struggling to be accepted, as this man that is struggling to belong somewhere, to see the importance of what he does because of his line of work that he has chosen to do. Jesus sees him in his tax booth. And so Jesus isn't just seeing Levi as this person, like I see Eric, like I see Bianca. But Jesus recognizes Levi's heart condition. Jesus recognizes that this young man, he has a deep desire to belong. Jesus recognizes that this young man wants to make a difference. Jesus sees Levi. And this type of seeing is revealing the heart of Jesus, his compassion for people. Where Jesus looks beyond the labels, right? He's a tax collector. He's a sinner. Jesus looks beyond that. Jesus looks beyond titles. Jesus looks beyond positions. Jesus looks beyond reputations. Jesus looks beyond people's past. And he sees a person that is broken, that is alone, that is hungry, that is seeking for something. He sees that person. Jesus sees beyond. He sees the heart of that person. How are we at seeing the people around us? How are you at seeing the people around you, around your circle of friends? Do you see people beyond what they look like on the outside. Do you see people beyond how they may be acting, right? How they're behaving? Do you see the people beyond the way that they dress, right? Or beyond what they may do? Do you see their heart? Do you see their brokenness? Do you see their deep desire to belong, to be accepted, to be loved, to be forgiven, to be healed, to be restored? Do you see that? Do we see that in them? Or are we just judging them because of the way they dress? Or are we just judging them because of what they do? Do we see them the way Jesus sees them? Jesus saw these ones. You know what? If we're honest with ourselves, we used to be like that as well. Right? In some way or form, we came from that place. And so right now, where we're standing today, if we're a disciple of Jesus, we can't see ourselves as being, oh, high and almighty. No, we need to remind ourselves that that used to be us as well. But only by the grace of God, only by Jesus' work, that we're able to be at this place right now. And so the next one is this. Everyone say, what's up? Oh, yous are getting real good. Jesus ate with them. Jesus ate with them. Okay? In verse 29, later Levi had a banquet in his own, in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Whoo! Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. And so Levi, when he accepted the invitation from Jesus to follow him, like we heard last week, remember? With Simon and Andrew, right? And James and John, when they were given the invitation by Jesus, what did they do? They left behind. They walked away from what they had, and they completely followed Jesus. Levi does the same thing. He walks away from his tax collector reputation. He walks away from his tax booth. He gets out of that place. He unlocks it and he gives the key away. Hey, look, I ain't coming back. He walked away from that. He gave that up to follow Jesus. That is discipleship. That is what it means to follow Jesus. And so here's the first thing. I love this. Here's the first thing that Levi does. He has a banquet at his house. Okay, let me put it into modern day terms. He has a house party, right? He has a house party with all the nice food going on there. Jesus ate with them. Jesus ate with them. Levi goes public straight away with his new life that he has found with Jesus. Straight away, party at my house tonight, Jesus. Let's go. I got some colleagues that I want to bring to the party tonight. And think about it. These are his tax collector friends, his work colleagues. They probably felt exactly the same as he did, right? Ridiculed by society, hated by people, singled out by people, right? And he throws a party and invites all these guys along. Hey, come and see. Come on, let's go eat, man, right? These people felt just like Levi. Broken, isolated, alone. And Levi's having a party at his house, and Jesus and his disciples are right there in the midst of it. They're right there, eating and hanging out with them. These are the very people that Jesus came for. And he is right there amongst them. Jesus is right there. Remember Jesus' purpose, right? He came to seek and save the lost. Who are you eating with? Who are you eating with? Who are you breaking bread with? Who have you gone out to? Who have you seen? And who are you eating with? Are you hanging around them to build relationally with them? Are you hanging around them so that they would see the Christ in you? Right? You being their salt and light in those situations. They may never set foot in a church. They may never come here. But because God has placed you in those circles of friends, you need to be to the church right there. You need to be to the church right there. So that their friends will see you as a friend also. So their friends will see, hey, he's hanging out with us. Why doesn't he be like everyone else and judge us and call us names? But he's hanging out with us. He's having a meal with me. He wants to hear from me. He's asking questions about me. He wants to know me. That is a way of connecting with people. Who are you eating with? Who are you eating with? Jesus ate with them. Verse 30, and the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Wow, right? Jesus had haters. Yes, he did. So I need us to be aware of this, right? We need to be aware that there will be some people that may not speak the best of us. It's a given, right? And the thing is, they're doing it to Jesus right here. They're doing it to Jesus. They were telling Jesus' disciples, why do you guys eat with those people, man? They're not even like us. They are sinners. Why do you hang out with them? Why are you guys eating with them? That's these Pharisees, that's these scribes, these teachers of the law. They're complaining to Jesus' disciples about this. So if we're Jesus' disciples, then people will do this to us too. People will complain at us. People will ridicule us. People will call us names. People will say stuff to us that may rock us, that may want us to turn into the Hulk and smash them, but that's not Jesus' way. Expect it. Don't be surprised by it, all right? Jesus' words in John 15:18 says this, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you, right? That's our promise, right? That's what we get to hold on to. That's what we get to be encouraged by. They ain't saying it to you. They already said it to Jesus, and they will continue to say it to Jesus. They'll always continue to attack Jesus. They're always trying to do, you know, things to Jesus. We're here today not because of what we've done. We're here today because of what Jesus has already done. Jesus has already given us the victory. Jesus has already won it on the cross. And so what people may say to us today is like, yeah, whatever, that's your opinion. But I know who I am in Christ. I know who I am in Christ. I know who Christ has called me to be. I am a son and daughter of the Most High God. That's who God has called me. So you can say whatever. You can do whatever. You were doing it to Jesus way back then. And Jesus has already won the victory for me. Okay, calm down. So this should remind us to be mindful of our own biases. Okay, be aware of this, guys. Just because we see the Pharisees, just because we see those people, oh, they're doing this to me, they're saying this about me, that doesn't mean that we're like, oh, you know, halo holy. Nah, we need to be aware. We need to continue to remind ourselves. We need to continue to stay humble. We need to continue to remind ourselves that this is Jesus' word. Nothing I did. I'm just walking in the victory of Jesus. And so reminding ourselves, because we can easily fall into the trap of standing like they do, of looking like what they're looking at us. We can do exactly the same thing to them. If we're not aware of that, we think that we're right. It's not we're right. Jesus is right. We're standing on His truth. So we need to be aware of that. Because as we're walking this out, we can get into the trap of like, nah, I am holy. I'm better than this. No, Jesus is holy. He won it up for us. So we stand in that promise. We stand on that truth. Amen? Everybody say, wasa. Hey. Jesus went out. Jesus saw. Jesus ate. And the last one, probably the most important one for us as disciples, is Jesus answered questions. Jesus answered questions. Verse 31, and Jesus answered them. Jesus answered them. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I like how the NLT version puts it. It says, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Right? This is another rendition of Jesus stating His purpose. He came to seek and save the lost. He is the doctor who has come to heal the sick. Right? Jesus has come for the very people that these Pharisees and scribes were looking down on. Jesus came for them. Jesus came for every single one of us in here. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance, to call people to turn away from their current way of living, because that's going to lead to death. And to turn to a new way of living, kingdom living. As a disciple of Jesus, we are to be ready to answer questions. We are to be ready to give a testimony. We are to be ready to proclaim and confess the goodness of God in our own lives. The people that we will go to, the people that we will see, and the people that we will eat with, they will have questions. They will have questions. So our part as a disciple of Jesus is that we are ready to give answers to those questions, to give responses, not from my understanding, but from God's word, to give responses from the Bible, to give responses from Jesus' life. Responsibility for our own life, and we're saying, God, I want to hear from you. I'm not relying on my pastor. I'm not relying on Pastor JR. I'm not relying on Steph and how she encourages me. I'm going to seek you in your word, and I'm going to invite you to speak to me, to lead and guide me. This is our calling that God has. How a disciple follows Jesus. If we do that with someone and they arrive at this place of accepting Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that's you fulfilling what God is calling you to do. That's what we've been all called to do. Follow this Jesus. And if you're in that place, that's okay too. That's okay. Let me tell you, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. And I would encourage you, have a conversation with someone. Look around. Maybe you know a leader here. Maybe you know someone here and you'd like to explore this a bit deeper. You have questions. It's good. We got answers. Not us. The Word of God has answers. Right? So, let's have this conversation. Whatever it is, let's talk through this process. Let's see how you arrived at this. We want to be on this journey with you. We want to help you walk this out. God sees you. God knows you. And God loves you. He loves you. Most of what people around us don't know about, God knows that. He knows you. And no one else does. Thank you. just as you saw Levi, the tax collector, you called him to follow you. Help us, Father. Help us see others through your eyes. Help us to love people around us the way you have loved us. Teach us to look beyond outward appearances, Father. To look beyond labels, but to recognize the potential for transformation and discipleship in every person that you bring us around. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for times that we have judged or excluded others based on their past, based on what they look like, based on their decisions, or even our differences, God. Forgive us for having this attitude towards our fellow brothers and sisters. Father, may your grace and mercy inspire us to reach out to those who are marginalized, who are misunderstood, who have been thrown to the side by society. Father, you sent your Son Jesus for them. You sent your Son Jesus for us. Us the courage to step out in faith like Matthew did, leaving behind his old life, leaving behind the things that he trusted to, his old ways, his old thinking, his old habits, Lord God, and to wholeheartedly follow you as a disciple. May you, Father, transform us and empower us to share your message of hope and redemption and forgiveness with all that we meet. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.